Warning: The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
I'm waiting for my song, Neil. What do you mean, here I go? You didn't play my song. Do you mind if I don't engage immediately in the problems of the world? Do you know that I can only take so much of the lies coming out of the mouths of Obama and his minions? Here is a guy. You know, the old saying, when does he lie? When he opens his mouth. No, it goes beyond that. I don't think this man knows what the truth is. His only truth is defeating his domestic enemies. The only thing he's ever known is to defeat his domestic enemy. So he comes out yesterday and attacks Putin, trying to gin up a third world war so we don't pay attention to what he's doing to this country. I want you to listen to clip number one on the Savage Nation. Please, please listen.
I do think it's important to keep perspective. Russia doesn't make anything. Immigrants aren't rushing to Moscow in search of opportunity.
Now, I want you to think about this. This is not a high school kid who's stoned. Or is it? Is this just a high school kid who's stoned on the beach in San Diego who says this at a frat house or in a bar on the beach? This is the president of the United States saying things in the child's voice, in an adolescent voice. Listen to it again. Listen carefully. It's important.
I do think it's important to keep perspective. Russia doesn't make anything.
Okay. Did you hear that? Did you hear the... hold it. Doesn't make anything. Beavis and Butthead. Beavis and Butthead. Now, why am I taking umbrage with this? Excuse me, Mr. President. Doesn't Russia fly our astronauts to the International Space Station on Russian rockets because you destroyed NASA's ability to do so, Mr. President? And of course immigrants aren't rushing to Moscow in search of opportunity, Mr. President, because Moscow doesn't give them free medical care, free housing, generous welfare benefits. That went out when the wall came down and communism was thrown out of Russia. But since we are now the new ex-Soviet Union, we have become the welfare magnet of the world, Mr. President, thanks to you and your merry Marxist pranksters. You know, we've lost common sense in this country. I would call it the death of common sense. The same people who are telling us there is man-made global warming, despite the coldest summer on record, the increase in pack ice in the Arctic, are now telling us to believe the government when they say Ebola poses no threat, and we should, just move on, just go about your business. I call them Ebola deniers. I call them Ebola deniers because the Ebola outbreak should have been confined to the hot zone in Africa. It was total insanity to bring it to America. Of course, it's debatable because many of you are under the mistaken notion that compassion should supersede survival. The big debate is about whether Ebola should have been allowed to be brought into the continent, even in a controlled and quarantine state. But the fact of the matter is, it was insane to do so. Voluntarily bringing the Ebola virus to North America is the most critically insane thing Obama has done to date. He is risking the lives of all of us to save these few people. And I'm not saying write these people off. I never said that. These are missionaries, by the way. These are missionaries who went to Africa knowing the risk. I didn't say, therefore, let them die. I said, therefore, treat them in Africa. Bring them the doctors and bring them the equipment that is necessary. Bring them to Africa. Now, you may say that this is spreading inaccurate information. It starts public panics. And you say that Ebola is totally controllable. That's BS. That is total nonsense. They were brought here for a number of reasons, and none of them are compassionate. They were brought here so they can be experimented upon in BS4 labs. controlled by the corrupt CDC. They were brought here so they can be used as guinea pigs, so they can teach the scientists, the Dr. Silvanas, how to learn a lot about how to treat and control hemorrhagic fevers in the future. It's a good place to do a controlled study to be published in the Annals of Virology. So they're not bringing these patients home just because it was the right thing to do. No, my friends. Was it too much to ask to treat these patients in labs that are controlled in Africa? See, the only BS4 labs in Africa are in South Africa and Gabon. And they're not controlled by the CDC. They're not controlled by the CDC. Did you hear what I just said? The CDC wants to control the labs. We also know that direct contact of fluids is allegedly the only route of transmission. And I said allegedly. But let me give you some other facts that you probably haven't gotten from the New York Post or the New York Times, the journal of record of foolishness. Let me ask you something, Mr. Sulzberger of the New York Times. If you were walking on, 7th Avenue in Manhattan, where somebody just sneezed in the last 3 to 5 minutes, and he happened to be infected with Ebola, then you would be in direct contact of such fluids. You understand that? And so you have to understand, my friends, that Ebola has been shown to defeat the air barrier in animal experiments. Did you know that? Ebola has been able to defeat the air barrier in animal experiments. They should have been treated in the hot zone. By removing them from Africa, the government has increased the chance of the disease spreading to an area which would have otherwise remained unaffected by the disease, meaning the United States of America. That is why the same lying clowns at the CDC who are sitting there with their nice ties and shirts assuring us in mellifluous tones that we're all safe, don't worry, go about your business, these are the same criminals, and I use a harsh word because they're committing a criminal act by letting TB, scabies, and cholera come across the border without having said a word about it. How come the very same nice doctor who is such an expert on the safety of Ebola has nothing to say about the diseases pouring over the border from Guatemala, El Salvador, and points south? How come the very same doctor has said nothing about that? Because he's nothing but a spokesmouth for the Obama administration. If you look at the news stories that have come out, there were 6 more people tested for Ebola in New York City, not one more. And it's been alleged that the health authorities are hiding the number from the public. In fact, in Africa, they say the outbreak is much worse than thought. They say it's spinning out of control in Africa. British Airways has suspended flights to these areas of Africa. But you shouldn't worry. Don't you worry, because the very same people who assure you that the world is coming to an end because of global warming induced by man tell you you have nothing to worry about there bringing Ebola into the United States of America. The very same president who was antagonizing Putin trying to start a war and making things up that are stupid. Russia doesn't make anything when our astronauts have to fly on Russian rockets to get to the International Space Station. What kind of president is this? What kind of man is this? The man is a dangerous, out-of-control man. It's not a matter of whether Russia makes as many things as we do. He's provoking Russia into a reaction. And you have to ask yourself why a man who allegedly is a pacifist and an internationalist would want some kind of military adventure with Russia. Why? Why? Because he wants to cover up the disaster of his presidency. Again, I was watching the history of World War I last night on American Heroes Channel, used to be Military Channel. Some of the greatest documentary footage I've ever seen in my life. I don't know where they got it from. But it's all black and white footage from the World War I period. And you see the faces of the boys going off to war from England, from France, from Germany, from Russia, from Serbia, and some of the other European nations. And they're all going to a great adventure, waving and happy, because they hadn't seen war in 50 years. There had been no war in Europe for 50 years, no major war. And the boys thought it was just going to be like a football game. They'd be home in a few days. They'd have a few adventures. Nobody would really get hurt. They would just smash the enemy into submission who would give up, throw his rifles down, and they'd come back. You know, Johnny come marching home again kind of thing, to ticker tape parades, and the girls would love them, and their parents would be proud of them. And they can go back to their farms, because many of them were farm boys. That's why they were so tough. But that's not how it worked out. 6 to 7 million boys were slaughtered in World War I because of loudmouths like Barack Hussein Obama. Because of egomaniacs like Barack Hussein Obama, who pushed them into war. Oh, there was a trigger, the execution of the Archduke and all of that. But that's not the real reason they went to war. It was all about egomania. Egomania of the kind you see raging out of control in the Congress. Nancy Pelosi, she must be off her meds, racing across Congress to verbally assault a young Republican. She ran across the aisle, never seen before, and put her finger in his face, screaming at him, off her meds, shaking with rage. She called him an insignificant man. Here's Obama calling Putin an insignificant man. Everywhere you turn, the fishwives of the Democrat Party are screaming that they're in charge, they're in control, that they're smart, that they know what they're doing. And we're supposed to protect, we're supposed to believe these people know what they're doing. No, I say keep the Ebola outbreak confined to the hot zone. It's common sense, something that has died in the United States of America. We brought a 2 American health workers now infected with Ebola to the United States. Removing them from the hot zone increased the chance of the disease spreading to an area which would have otherwise remained unaffected by the disease, meaning the United States. Okay? I understand they're Americans. I know that very well. But it doesn't justify the risk that is being taken. I'm astounded that the political CDC would not have objected to bring people infected with Ebola to the United States. I'd like to see these people treated. Certainly I would. Did you notice that they got better the minute they arrived? And the first one was better from the magic serum? Well, there is no serum. Well, how could he get better instantly? Have you ever heard anything like this? Instantly. Oh, he's back and he's better. Put that out, Marjorie. Marjorie, put that out. The morons don't know any different. Tell him he got better from the serum we have. Now, there's a couple articles you haven't seen from this Marxist-Leninist government media complex that are very important for you to know about. Things that you're not being told about Ebola. And I'm not doing this to scare you. I'm doing it to inform you. And if you don't like it, turn the radio off. Go listen to NPR. Or go listen to CNN. They'll tell you everything is safe. You see, a study conducted in 2012 showed that Ebola was able to travel between pigs and monkeys that were in separate cages and were never placed in direct contact. I'll repeat that in case you missed that before you change the dial. A study conducted in 2012 showed that Ebola was able to travel between pigs and monkeys who were housed in separate cages and were never placed in direct contact. No one knows the method of transmission. However, one of the scientists involved, not one of the government liars from the CDC, one of the real scientists involved, Dr. Gary Kobinger from the National Microbiology Laboratory at the Real Public Health Agency of Canada, told BBC News that he believed that the infection was spread through large droplets that were suspended in the air. He said, what we suspect is happening is large droplets, they can stay in the air but not long, they don't go far. But they can be absorbed in the airway, and this is how the infection starts. And this is what we think, because we saw a lot of evidence in the lungs of the non-human primates that the virus got in that way. In other words, Ebola may be an airborne virus. Oh, but don't believe me. After all, what do I know? Believe Wolf Blitzer, for example. Believe a high school dropout in the news media who looks good. Believe David Gregory, the most trusted man in the subway car. Believe Barack Obama, who's trying to start some kind of war with Russia. Believe Eric Holder, the consigliere of the Obama crime syndicate. But don't believe me. Don't believe me at all. In fact, don't listen to this show. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I, Michael Savage, trust to buy my gold and silver from, SwissAmerica.com.
for all our peoples, and that unleash the next era of African growth. That's the kind of partnership America offers.
So President Zero is now speaking.
Since I took office, we've stepped up our efforts.
I can't take it. I can't take his the hooded eyes. The lies that are pouring out of his soul are enough to poison a man's soul. I just watch him speak and I feel like my soul gets poisoned. In the midst of an Ebola outbreak, he brings an African summit, keeps it going. Again, an emerging new Africa. That's the new hope for the world. Well, I have a lot to say about that, but I won't say it right now. We're talking about a morbid topic. Ebola death is what we're talking. You think about it. What are we talking about? Health and illness, living and dying. Did you know the burial places in the U.S. and around the Western world are at a premium? Did you know that? People are fighting for a piece of real estate. They're calling it real estate now. In New York City, 1,000 New Yorkers die every week. And Manhattan is running out of room for them. In Brooklyn, prices of burial plots for the deceased are at record highs. You ready for this one? You thought your house cost a lot? In a 756-square-foot mausoleum in Greenwood Cemetery in Brooklyn, near Park Slope, costs $320,000. An 1,800-square-foot single-family home across the street sold for $245,000 in 2009. Today it's worth $1 million. Former Mayor Ed Koch, remember him, the expert in everything? If you were a nuclear physicist and you unfortunately were in the room with Mayor Ed Koch, he would have told you about nuclear physics and not let you express your knowledge. He would know more than you about nuclear physics. He was one of the last New Yorkers to be buried in Manhattan. He paid Uptown Trinity Church Cemetery $20,000 in 2008, 5 years before he kicked. He said, "I don't want to leave Manhattan even when I'm gone," said Koch. "The thought of having to go to New Jersey was so distressing to me." Very funny. Arrogance. So we're talking about a morbid topic. I get it. If you'd like to be morbid with me, the phone number is 800-855-400-SAVAGE. That's
join the Savage Nation. Call now. 855-400-SAVAGE. 855-400-7282. Savage. 560 KSFO.
Welcome back to the Savage Nation. We're talking about Ebola. We're talking about the death of common sense. We're talking about Obama trying to provoke Putin into some kind of war. And, you know, many topics of the day. Basically, the death of common sense seems to be behind it all. I have a breaking news story that should help some of you understand why I am the outsider in the media. Are you ready for this? It came out minutes ago on Raw Story. Breaking news on the Savage Nation. Headline, pro-troop conservative charity mainly exists to funnel money to Tea Party Express founder. I don't have to name the talk show hosts who have made a big deal about wrapping themselves in the military, but a conservative charity group that claimed to be sending care packages to U.S. Marines in Afghanistan has been exposed as a fraudulent operation dedicated to pumping millions of dollars into the accounts of a Tea Party loyalist and his political consulting groups. On Tuesday, the Daily Beast printed an expose of Move America Forward. Right? You want to hear more? Well, there's more to it than that. I can put the story up. But now we have this thing's on a troop-a-thon. One of these groups claimed to be sending packages to a 1st Marine Division battalion known as Geronimo to aid them in their fight against the Taliban in Afghanistan. During the fund drive, however, Geronimo Battalion wasn't anywhere near Afghanistan, but were stationed in Okinawa, Japan. Nevertheless, the charity reported that its Geronimo fund drive had been a roaring success and that all 800 Marines received their care packages and personalized notes. In addition, wrote Barker, Move America Forward has hijacked images, veteran stories, blah, 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 blah. So I'll read you the rest of the story. Meanwhile, say tax experts, the group has funneled millions of dollars to Tea Party groups and to California Republican businessman Sal Russo, 67, founder of Move America Forward, the Tea Party Express, and a bevy of other conservative consulting and political action groups. Move America Forward's last five tax returns, said ProPublica. Now, ProPublica, you should know, is run by George Soros, perhaps the most dangerous man on the planet. So you got to understand the source. They should be sued if this is a lie. But this group, ProPublica, says that the organization paid out, quoting now, more than $2.3 million to Russo or Marsh and Associates, for services including program management and advertising. So that's 30% of the charity's overall expenditures over that time. And what else would you like to know? Would you like to know more about some of the people involved? You can read the article. You got to look at it. You know about the Troopathon fundraiser, right? You've heard about it. Actor Gani Sinise, Gene Simmons, and others. And I won't mention any of the other names because it's a smear tactic by the left wing. But if it's true, they can't be sued. If they're lying that the money went to Rousseau, they can be sued. So be very careful who you send money to. I don't generally get involved in these things because I don't know who's behind them, to be honest with you. So what would you like to talk about? I mean, there's a lot of topics. There's a lot of news. Here we have CNN's reporter Gupta. There's Mr. Gupta saying that six were tested in New York City for Ebola, and it's been withheld from the public. So let's hear clip number two, Neil. Let's fire that one and see what that sounds like.
I should point out as well that the hospital has, you know, made this known. There have been about a half a dozen patients who have had their blood tested because of concern. Those particular patients, their stories were not made public. This patient was. I'm not sure if that's because of heightened concern by the hospital or what that means exactly.
Oh, so even Gupta's... The CNN Gupta doctor, Dr. Gupta, is saying six were tested and it's been withheld from you, the sheeple out there. Interesting. But have no fear because the Obama administration is monitoring Ebola very closely. Listen to clip six. This is Deputy National Security Spokesmouth, Mr. Blinken. Listen to six.
We're doing more than watching. We are surging support to the countries that are affected by this in West Africa. Expertise, equipment, protective gear. And here at home, we're taking every precaution with protections, the protocols that you've heard about, to make sure that there's no problem here. So this is more than watching, it's acting.
We're taking precautions. Now, that should give you confidence. These are the same people who are taking precautions to protect our borders. But look, they can protect the borders, but they don't want to. But be sure that they don't want the Ebola virus to break out in the United States of America. That's logical, isn't it? I mean, we have to trust that these men in nice suits and ties have our best interests at heart. We know they do in every other case. You know, I mean, Obama certainly looks out for the average American on a daily basis. You have to look at the way he acts and what he does. You know he looks out for the average middle-class American. At least he says he does. So what can I say? Sarcasm has its limits. I get that. And for him to say at the beginning, at the outset, I have to go back to the initial soundbite. Because after you hear that soundbite of him saying Russia doesn't produce anything. He's lying about everything he says. The man cannot help it. Listen to soundbite number one again.
I do think it's important to keep perspective. You know, Russia doesn't make anything. Immigrants aren't rushing to Moscow in search of opportunity.
This is the president of the United States. This is not a stoner in college. Some left-wing snot nose. Russia doesn't make anything. Immigrants aren't rushing to Moscow. Well, they're not rushing to Moscow because it's no longer a welfare state. Remember the wall came down when Marxism was thrown out of Russia? Mr. Obama, you've embraced everything Russia dismissed. Everything that Russia dismissed, Obama is embracing as rapidly as he can. Think about that one. That's number one. Number two, we, so far as I know, don't have the rockets to take our astronauts to the space station. There are no green rockets yet that can take them to the space station. We have to hitch a ride on the Soyuz, I believe, whatever the rocket may be. I don't know what it's called, but it's a Russian rocket, Mr. Obama. And they do have tremendous natural resources in Russia, petroleum, iron, aluminum, wheat, gold, tremendous amount of fertilizers, pearls, gems, precious metals, tremendous amount of wood. Machinery. They're very natural resource rich, which in the world in which we live, Mr. Obama, is more important than making cartons for Japanese goods. Unbelievable to me. Oh, by the way, they make some pretty good weapons, too, Mr. Obama. I know you think they don't make anything, but they're pretty good weapons over there in Russia, Mr. Obama, including ICBMs that could wipe out American cities, Mr. Obama. They didn't get them from you. The death of common sense. Okay, what would you like to talk about on the Savage Nation? What, you're not being told about Ebola? what you're not being told about TB coming across the border from Mexico, what you're not being told about cholera coming across the border from Mexico, what you're not being told about scabies coming across the border from Mexico. Let me give you a little story about another virus, because I think it's of some interest. It's not a story about Ebola, certainly. It's about hantavirus. And many of you don't know what it is, but I think I should alert you to the dangers of some of these hemorrhagic fevers, because hantavirus is a hemorrhagic fever, and it's pretty interesting how it's spread. And that is, hantavirus is spread by rodents on their droppings and on the dust of rodents. Did you know about that? Let's say you're cleaning out an old attic in a farmhouse. So you go to, you have an old country house somewhere. Or, no, go another, make it something easier. You go into your garage, which is full of garbage. You're like a hoarder in your garage. Many people, we're all like hoarders somewhere. And you find an old cardboard box in the garage, and you scare off some mice. And as the mice leave, they leave behind a trail of urine. You pick up the cartons that they left behind. You sweep up the mouse droppings. The air fills with dust, which you breathe into your lungs. And even healthy people who inhale hantavirus can get a fatal infection. Now, interestingly enough, hantavirus cannot spread from person to person. Contact with rodents is the only known risk. It can be fatal. And I'm telling you about this for a reason, because hantavirus is not as uncommon as you may think. You should research this for yourself. Even people who visited campgrounds in America are showing signs of picking up hantavirus. And you should practice common sense. That disease, hantavirus pulmonary syndrome, kills nearly 40% of people who get it. So what should you do? Well, let's say you're camping. Would you please use a ground cover and throw the ground cover away, like a plastic sheet, a painter sheet underneath it? How about that? Would that work for you? Yeah, I think you ought to think about that. What else should you do? Well, would you please pick up your pet food right after they eat in your apartment or your house? Many of you feed your pets, as I do, and you forget to pick up the food at night. Well, that's bait for mice and rats. Don't leave water bowls out overnight. You see, mice and rats get thirsty, and it's nice to have a little reservoir of water for your pet in your kitchen. Keep bird feeders away from your house. Did you know about that? Keep compost bins 100 feet away from your house. See, a lot of the green people are nice people and well-meaning people, but they're ignoramuses when it comes to common sense. They lost their common sense shortly after birth when they were drugged by their pediatrician. 855-407-282. I'm telling you about hantavirus. It's a very important thing to know about, not because it's related to Ebola, but I thought you'd want to know about it because we're all concerned now with hemorrhagic type fevers and, well, you know, what are they and what do they have to do? Can you get one here? Yeah, well, you get hantavirus. Yes, you can. The New York hantavirus in northeastern states, Black Creek Canal hantavirus, Bayou hantavirus in southeastern states. By the end of 2011, 34 states reported hantavirus, HPS, cases. The vast majority were in western and southwestern states. In fact, there were a couple of cases here in California of a guy, a healthy man in his 40s, went and cleaned out his attic and died 2 days later. Why? Mouse droppings. So I'm fanatic about this. I paid a fortune recently to a Terminator company, whatever, like a Arnold Schwarzenegger company. You know, exterminators, like Bob DeLay or whatever his name was. Remember he was an exterminator? We need a few in the Republican Party, a few like him, with a few cans of Raid to clean out the Congress. They'll have to change the seats. If we ever get the Republican majority, they're going to have to change the seats in Congress. They're so contaminated with hate. They'll have to rip the seats out in Congress and have them reupholstered. But nevertheless, aside from that, there's a lot of things to worry about, life and death. What, are you going to walk around worrying about everything? You may as well. You're listening to this show because you're worried about everything. If you weren't worried about everything, you'd be listening to baseball right now, or sports, or music. But since you're worried about everything, as you should be, because of the president of the disunited states of America, you're listening to this and other shows to try and find out, A, if there's anything you should worry about that you're already not worrying about, and how much more to worry about the things you are worrying about, And to increase your worry load, you want to find out what you haven't known before about what Obama and the multigrain Congress is doing to you and to your future and your children's future. And so this will give you enough to worry about tonight that you may actually have a good night's sleep. 855-400-7282 is the phone number you're listening to, The Savage Nation. If you have any comments, if you have any questions about Ebola, I'll do my best to answer them. Now, before I take the break, there are such haters out there that they have to attack people on subjects that are simply commonsensical. And they have to try to pretend that I don't have a real PhD. Well, let me explain something to you. Those of you who are so full of hate and jealousy, let me get it on the record. We'll correct this in Wikipedia as soon as we can. I don't know if Doug did it yet. Michael Savage earned his PhD in 1978 from the University of California at Berkeley in nutritional ethnomedicine. Say, oh, that's not epidemiology. Well, listen carefully, dummy, carefully. Because of Michael's many years of research in several fields, it was the first degree ever granted in this interdisciplinary field. Savage combined the fields of epidemiology, human nutrition, and medical anthropology. His PhD dissertation was later published in a book form by a division of the United Nations. It was entitled Ethnomedicine in Fiji. Oh, by the way, prior to earning his PhD, Michael earned two master's degrees, one in ethnobotany and one in medical anthropology. And a further footnote is, my master's degree was published in its entirety in a journal at Harvard University. So before you start criticizing and throwing brickbats, you better be very careful, because certain things I will not accept. And I'll be right back to argue with you right here on The Savage Nation.
Join The Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I, Michael Savage, trust to buy my gold and silver from, SwissAmerica.com. Looking at bargain alternatives to cemeteries in city. God, what an article. You can be buried upstate New York for $500 somewhere in one of the counties up there. This is an interesting story. In 1960, when America was still religious, fewer than 4% of Americans chose cremation. By 2012, it was 43% choosing cremation. It's lower in London, where it's 70%. Or Tokyo, where there's no alternative to incineration. Ugh. I don't know. I haven't made any plans yet. How about a green burial? I don't know. I don't want hippies burying me. I'm not into that. I don't know. London has a problem with. But it goes back to ancient Rome, the burial thing. How about Hong Kong? Take Hong Kong, a crowded city like that. They have a columbarium. It's not an enema. Columbarium is not an enema. It's not something you ingest for an x-ray. It's a building containing urns, and you have to wait 5 years to get your urn in there. Can you? Wow. In Japan, they've mechanized the urn thing. You use a smart card to retrieve ashes of your relatives from an underground vault housing thousands of urns. You sit in the room, punch in your codes, and the remains come up on a little elevator. Oh, God. Well, in medieval Paris to ancient Rome, catacombs were a solution to the overcrowding of the dying. And today, both European capitals contain miles of underground mazes and caves. So there's the problem. Marilyn Monroe. Oh, did you hear about this in Westwood Village in Los Angeles? It's unbelievable. Marilyn Monroe's final resting place is in Pierce Brothers Westwood Village Memorial Park in L.A., In 2009, a spot to bury above her drew a $4.6 million bid on eBay Inc. I thought of going into the burial business years ago. It's too ghoulish. I don't like the subject. I once worked at a morgue. Did I tell you that story? For one day, I came back from Europe with long hair, and I was a little wacky from the European experience. I took a job in... I'll tell you about that another time. I'll be right back on The Savage Nation.
Join The Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage. Warning, The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
What a world we're living in. The death of common sense, a lying president. What I wouldn't give for him to resign. Imagine if you woke up tomorrow and we had the equivalent of Nixon, where Obama says he has to resign owing to the level of scandals. And it threatens to destroy not only the party, but the nation. He's resigning. Wow, how many flags would go out on how many balconies in this country? Fireworks would go off. Imagine a day like that. Why don't you visualize Obama resigning like Nixon did? Just visualize that. Let's use a 60s, 70s tactic. Visualize Obama resigning. And America finally breathing free. Breaking the shackles of this monstrous presidency. Monstrous. I've never seen anything like this. Anyway, I'm going to stop right there because that's Obama bashing, and we don't do that in the Savage Nation. I mean, we should. You know, there's nothing wrong with doing it. He's worse than what I say. But if you do it, people turn the radio off. I was on vacation. I listened. I didn't want to hear it. You can only take so much. It's like Ebola deniers now. They don't know Ebola from Shinola, but they're sure you can't get it because the nice doctors in white shirts told them there's nothing to worry about. They're experts on virology. They're experts on epidemiology. They're experts on tropical diseases all of a sudden. The only thing missing from this whole debate has been one of the actors talking about it, like Sean Penn telling us that Ebola is perfectly safe, or Geraldo Rivera saying that he'll prove beyond a reasonable doubt that his mustache cannot contain any Ebola virus, even if he was exposed to it. I mean, it's crazy. Where are they? Where are the actors now that we don't eat them? Don't eat them. Need them? We don't need them. Don't need them. U.S. general killed in attack. Man dressed in an Afghan army uniform opens fire at a military base. You know my feelings on that, right? Can anyone explain why we're still in Afghanistan? Can anyone explain that to me, why we ever went to Afghanistan? Can anyone explain to me why one American life has been worth any reason to be in that hellhole? And the British were driven out of Afghanistan. No one could rule that hellhole. What are we doing there? Oh, I heard opium and morphine. Who knows? The old CIA with dead bodies in the airplanes. Who knows already? It's hard to follow it all. That's why people do turn to sports and entertainment, to be honest. Not that they're all stupid. How much can they take? How much can the average person take? And now you wake up, the same morons who say nothing about TB coming over the border are now assuring you not to worry about bringing Ebola to America because we're in charge. We're keeping a close eye on the Ebola. We're going to be very watchful. And what if it breaks out? What are they going to say then? We're sorry? Whoops. Unbelievable to me. Let's go to the callers. I haven't taken many calls. I took one call so far in the Savage Nation today. My dog Teddy is back. That's right. For those of you who are Teddy followers, I think he has something like 30 million likes on the internet. He's back. He's sleeping on his little bed next to me. He was sick for a few days, so I farmed him out to someone else who could deal with the, you know, the cleanup job. I'm not into it. Women can do that. I can't. I can't go near that stuff. Ugh. I like a dog that's healthy. I'm sorry, I can't be around an unhealthy animal. I can't do it. I don't mistreat him, but I give it to someone else to take care of during those phases. Let's leave it at that. But he's back, he's happy, he's sleeping near me, he's fine. In other words, he's resting comfortably. He'll be fine. Teddy, are you okay? Say something for the audience. Bark. He's not moving. He's sleeping on his big bed that was given to me at a hotel a number of years ago for free. A big bed they gave me for free, would you believe it? The Hyatt Lake Tahoe. Nice people up there. Haven't been there once this year. Ugh, I don't go to those places. Hot, dusty, horrible. Like people crashed into a pier last. Did you see that? Two drunks? They smashed with their 25-foot powerboat at night. They died. They smashed into a pier at Lake Tahoe and died. What the heck? What is going on? The world's crazy. Who speeds in a boat up to a dock? I don't get it. Whatever. KSFO San Francisco. Jake, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Hey, how you doing? Hey, I just want to say, I want to give you props, kudos, or, you know, for letting us know a little bit more about, like, your profile or your bio, whatever you call it, your resume.
Okay.
you know, it's nice to hear because, you know, we don't have time to, like, do a lot of research. And
well, no, people are going on the Internet trying to smear me, saying I don't have this, I don't have that. They're completely wrong. I'm as over-credentialed as I can possibly be. And the fact is that I know how to read literature. It's all that matters. I know how to read the scientific literature. That's all that matters. I don't have to be a virologist to understand this disease. That's the main thing to remember. Common sense dictates what you do in a viral illness, which is you don't bring people with the illness to areas where the illness doesn't exist unless you're totally insane or you want to spread the disease. Plain and simple. You treat it at the source. You don't bring it to a country where it doesn't exist. That's what I say. 855-407-282. Savage Nation. You know, you say, okay, it's an interdisciplinary PhD that you got from the University of California. What's that mean? Well, let me explain something. I may as well go into it in one more second. You have to bear with me. Since the haters are so rampant, the cyberbullies who sign things anonymous, you know, they're jealous of me. That's all. When I was at the University of California, I had earned two master's degrees, one in medical botany and one in medical anthropology. And they were such good degrees and such high-quality degrees that the first one was published in its entirety as a book. Now, those of you who are scholars know that rarely are dissertations ever published in their entirety, let alone as a book, but they were. And one was by a journal at Harvard University, which I was very, very happy with. But I always wanted a PhD, so I worked for it. But the point is, I was not limited to any one field. I was interested in human nutrition, medical anthropology, and, of course, diseases, epidemiology. What is epidemiology? People think it's about the skin, epidermis. Epidemiology is about epidemics. There are not their origins, but their spread, in essence. The locus of infection, how a disease spreads. That's epidemiology. You study epidemics, in other words. You try to find out where it started and how it spread. That's epidemiology. So I was not interested in any one of them to the exclusion of the others. At that time at the University of California, there were interdisciplinary PhDs being offered. They were extremely rare. They were very difficult to be approved by the dean. I don't think they still do them. And they were murder to get. And I combined three fields in one. And the thing is that each of the doctors who were in charge of me in each field was a leader in his field, in epidemiology, human nutrition, medical anthro. And I want to just give you one other anecdotal story to show you how hard things are. In order to qualify for this interdisciplinary field, you had to go through a dean, a very, very brilliant scientist himself. And you had to explain to him why you shouldn't just do your degree in one field. He would say to you, well, he was a little, I never forget, as long as I live, it was the toughest thing I've ever gone through in my entire life was that 30 to 40 minute interview. I just sat down with him in his office. I can remember to this day the clock ticking at, say, the tower, and the fear I had, the abject fear I had, because one wrong word and it would have been over. I really wanted to pursue this interdisciplinary degree. And he had to give you the go-ahead. First, you had to find professors in each field who thought enough of you to say, I'll be your dissertation chairman in your field. That's number one, which I did. Then you brought that with what you were going to study to him. So he was a small man. I don't remember his name. He was very brilliant. And he spoke in a high-pitched, almost feminine voice. And he sat in his chair and he looked at me and he said, so, Michael, what is it that you would like to study? And, you know, it started like that. And, it was a trial in essence. I got to tell you something. I didn't know whether he approved it or didn't approve it when I left that office 30, 40 minutes later. But something odd happened to me that just came back. I may as well share it. What's the difference? It's talk radio. I remember going into the men's room and I'm going to sat down. I sat down in the booth there just to get away from the whole situation, the tension. And I remember my being shrinking. My entire mind and body shrank into a pencil point. It was like a psychotic episode from the tension. I swear to God, I almost had like a psychotic break from the tension. It was the toughest thing I've ever gone through in my life. Does anyone know what I'm talking about? Have you ever experienced anything like this from abject stress? I don't know if it was. I never told anybody about it. I never went into therapy. I didn't tell anybody. Didn't tell family about it. Nobody knows about it. I shrank into a pinpoint. Well, I don't know what that was. The psychiatrist probably call it a psychotic break or something. I mean, I got better. I was able to drive home from school that day. I still was able to walk in the streets and find my car. After all, I just could. But the thing was, that moment after that dissertation discussion. Anyway, he approved the study. I went ahead and I got the PhD in 2.5 years. There are still people at Berkeley 20 years later who haven't completed their PhD. And my dissertation had been published right afterwards as a book by a division of the World Health Organization or the UN. I don't remember which. Someone ripped off the copyright to it in Fiji. They stole it. Some guy owns a bookshop down there. Like that. I don't want to finish this sentence. It was published as a book called Secrets of Fijian Medicine. I'll bet you can find it on the internet for $300. And it's my whole life is involved in that little book. I never made any money on it. I gave it basically to the Fijian government for free to make money on it for their own country. But I was an idealist then. You know, I probably would do the same thing today. I wouldn't have created Fiji water, let me put it to you that way. I wouldn't have sucked out the aquifer and given them 2 cents on the dollar. That's all. What are they going to drink when that water's gone? Does an aquifer continue to fill up? There are islands in the middle of an ocean. How in the world does this aquifer keep refilling? Well, it rains like crazy down there. I mean, rivers can rise 8 feet in a few hours after a rainstorm. You can have a small, dry riverbed that, you know, after a two-hour rain, it's 8 feet higher. It's pretty amazing. Yes, indeedy. Life moves on. Tick-tock. I can remember that clock at Say the Tower to this day. So what would you like to talk about? I understand I have a caller on the internet from Hawaii. He's gone. Burial, anything like that? He left. All right. Obama saying that Russia produces nothing. I love that. Man, Russia produces nothing. Yeah. That's really diplomatic of the president. You got to admit. Really high level. And in a Beavis and Butthead voice. On top of it all. Then he says immigrants aren't rushing to Moscow. He says, you hear this? Now, let me repeat again, Mr. President. Everything Moscow threw out from socialism, you've picked up as though it's recently discovered. All the perks of socialism that destroyed the Soviet Union, that they threw out to invest in a free market economy, you have picked up as though you just discovered it with your stooges there in the White House. Of course immigrants come here. Wouldn't you come to a place that was stupid enough to give you everything for free? Where 50-some percent of the population does nothing? Of course you'd come to America if you could sit on your fat behind and have government agents give you everything. And you could earn money off the books. Of course you'd come to a country like that. So don't get me started here. Oh, just visualize waking up one morning and the headlines across America say Obama resigns. The scandals got so great that his own party pushed him out. Yeah, right. Right, sure. But visualize it anyway. It's good for your mental health. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Stand with the Jews or worship with the Muslims is what's coming to this world. They're on a new campaign that I call it's not a jihad. The Islamists are on a new crusade, just as in the past, and they're killing with small armies around the world. If they are not stopped, they will take over the entire world. Here's a story out of the Middle East that should have your ears. Of course, Obama's busy with Africa right now. He can't be bothered. An Iraqi lawmaker, a woman, cried out for help because ISIS, the Islamic State fighters, said they will execute all members of her religion. 40,000 members of a small religious group were warned either convert to Islam, the religion of peace, or be executed. They are the neo-Nazis of our time. They're beyond neo-Nazis. Excuse me. They're Islamo-fascists. And the whole world should rise up and destroy them, wipe them off the planet. Wipe them off the planet. The entire Sunni triangle is a pustule that needs to be decimated. A member of Iraq's parliament made a tearful plea today to save us after bloodthirsty jihadists, Mr. Obama, seized two northern towns and vowed to execute all members of her religion. A member of the Yazidi community cried for help during discussions over the mounting crisis, and she yelled out, "In the name of humanity, I call upon all of you to save us. Save us," she shouted into a microphone. "Our families are being slaughtered, as are all other Iraqis are being massacred by ISIS." Can you believe this? And we've done nothing? Can you believe this president won't lift a finger to stop these jihadists who have taken over the Sunni triangle? You have to ask yourself which side he's on. And I'm asking it. I don't care what you think of me. Why is he doing nothing? Can anyone explain to me why this president is doing nothing to stop them as their cancer spreads through Iraq, blowing up churches, killing Christians, decimating other religious minorities? Instead, he has something to say about Israel and Gaza. Israel's on the front lines against ISIS. And remember, ISIS are cousins of Hamas. Make no mistake about it. So if you stood with Hamas, you were standing with ISIS. And that means you were standing with the decimation of minority religions in the Middle East. That's who you are. Make no mistake about who you are and which side you've taken. You're a bunch of Jew-hating anti-Semites, especially if you're Jewish. Don't tell me that you're anti-Zionist. Because Martin Luther King Jr. said, don't be fooled. There's no such thing as anti-Zionism, it's anti-Semitism. I've known these leftist slime. I know who they are. Oh, we're not anti-Semitic, we're anti-Zionist. Nonsense! You're standing with ISIS if you stand with Hamas. You're standing with the community of killers, Islamo-fascists. That's what you're standing with. Now let's take some pleasant calls in the Savage Nation about another plague on the planet, the plague of Ebola. We have the plague of Ebola, we have the plague of Islamism. So first Obama brings in Islamists into his own administration. They're not called that. They have certain, they have different names now. You think some of his advisors are not sympathetic to Hamas or ISIS? You'd be crazy to think that. You'd be nuts to think that. No, you'd be really crazy, wouldn't you? No, you'd be really smart to understand what I'm saying to you is true. 100% true. He won't lift a finger against ISIS, who are killing minority communities all over Iraq. Why? Why does the con man have nothing to say about that? Where's one Democrat on what's going on in the Middle East as he's executing all minority religions in Iraq? Tell me. Tell me where's Nancy Pelosi?
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
So this left-wing cabal that is ruining the world under Obama includes Secretary of State John Kerry, who, as you well know, is the biggest doofus in the history of the Secretary of State's job. And that's saying a lot, considering Madeleine Albright was a new low. Then Hillary Clinton, of course, brought about the Arab Spring, which was the Arab winter. Now we have Secretary of Hate John Kerry failing in the Middle East. And instead of saying one word about ISIS killing religious minorities, listen to what he gave a speech on today. John Kerry presses for new climate change rules for farmers and fishermen. Secretary of Hate John Kerry took a turn from international diplomacy to wade into the climate change debate. And he said, it's climate smart agriculture. Oh, he's at the, I'm sorry, U.S.-Africa summit. That's where he is. And he gave a speech on climate change. That the impacts of climate change are already being felt everywhere in the world. The Arctic, first of all, he's lying. The Antarctic ice pack is the largest it's been in a very long time. So he's lying about that. And then he goes on to say that the world's fish stocks and this and carbon pollution and blah, 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 and that the best way to help farmers and fishermen to farm enough food is to endure climate impacts, is to help people endure climate impacts and to accept, quote, creative solutions. That's right out of the Soviet Marxist playbook. Creative solutions? What would that be, John? That would be taxation without representation? Telling farmers what they can grow and what they couldn't grow. In other words, state-run agriculture the way it was done under Joseph Stalin. That worked out real well for Russia, John. 30 million people died when the state took over agriculture in the Soviet Union. Do you have any idea how dangerous these people are? Okay, I'm preaching to the choir. Sorry. You do know how dangerous they are. Or do you not know how dangerous this man is? Madeleine Albright was the stupidest person in the history of the State Department. She cheered while American warplanes bombed Serbia almost into the Stone Age. She cheered while every bridge over the Danube River was blown up. This war criminal. There were riots in Greece and other countries over Madeleine Albright. They wanted her tried in The Hague for war crimes against the Serbs. Did you know that? Now she's a lobbyist for China. Every once in a while she has the time to come to MSNBC to give her opinion on this and that. Then you had Hillary Clinton in the State Department. We came, we saw, he died. How'd that work out for you, Mrs. Clinton? How's Libya today now that you killed Gaddafi? Is it a better place, a safer place? Tell us, Mrs. Clinton, was that one of your policy successes, killing Gaddafi? So now we have John Kerry. You know, the State Department is a holding place for those who want higher office, mainly to be the president. That didn't work out for Madeleine Albright. I can see that. But Hillary thinks she will be president because she was Secretary of State. She didn't do anything except destroy everything she touched. But nevertheless, it's a qualification to become the president. John Kerry has always thought he's presidential material. And now it's climate change. That's the new boomerang into the White House. Climate change. The clown in the White House hasn't yet done that. Give him another year. After he breaks the borders, takes your guns, he'll be going after some climate tax. Let's take some calls. What do you want to talk about? Are you interested in anything I said today? Like, I feel the class isn't interested today. I think they're burned out. I think the class is burned out on Ebola. They're burned out on Obama. They don't know what to think about. They don't know. They don't care. No one cares. It's August. They want to be away from it all. They don't care. What do they care? And if Ebola, God forbid, breaks out in America, who you think anyone's going to be put in prison? Who, the schmuck who decided to bring the patients here? No, it's not a European country where there'd be culpability. You know, I was reading that in Japan, a scientist hung himself, which is very sad. He was the director of a laboratory in Japan. And it turned out that one of his associates fudged data on a very important scientific study. And when his associate was found out, the lab director hung himself in the laboratory. He said, I'm not saying hang yourself, but what a sense of honor they still have in Japan. It's the antithesis of our government. These are men who pride themselves on lying, cheating, and stealing. This is a government that prides itself on screwing the people as often and as deeply as possible on a daily basis and laughing at you if they get caught. There's no culpability. They blow up whole nations and nothing happens. Lying, cheating, stealing. You have faith in your government? Does anyone out there still have faith in your government? I hope you do, because I don't. WBAP in Dallas. Rue, welcome to the Savage Nation. What's on your mind?
Hello. I wanted to talk about the Ebola being brought over here, the virus. I have been a nurse for 42 years, and so far you are the only person that I've heard concerned about bringing that over here. They're saying it's not dangerous, there's no problem, but yet they're in an epidemic. And we do not have this over here. The people that have it now chose to go over there. I'm not mean, I'm not horrible, but that was their choice. We needed to treat them there, not bring Ebola here.
That's correct. It's common sense. It was what my article yesterday was about. It's still up on michaelsavage.com. I'm not taking it down for a week. What Obama has permitted to happen with the Ebola virus being brought in here is madness. It's almost criminal in its insanity. Now, I hope that Ebola is contained. And it's not like, I want to be proven right and see an epidemic. I hope I'm wrong. I hope all of my fears are not realized, okay? But that doesn't mean that I'm wrong. In other words, the object here is to follow common sense procedures in medicine. And the first rule of medicine is doctor, do no harm. How can they assure us they're not doing any harm by bringing Ebola patients to this country? Common sense would say you don't do a thing like this. There was no need to bring the patients here. They could have treated them in Africa. But the disease is so dangerous, they didn't want them in South Africa or in the only other country, which is, I think, Gabon, that has the ability to treat these patients. They said, no, you can't bring them in here. Did you know that?
Yes.
But stupid America, which welcomes Guatemalans and El Salvadorans and Mexicans with any disease on the planet, because, of course, you'd be a racist to say that TB is a dangerous disease. Now bring in Ebola, bring it in, bring in malaria, smallpox, bring it all back, bring in yellow fever, turn us into a third world cesspool again, and then we'll have a nice democracy. It'll be real fair. Maybe Obama in his heart of hearts thinks it's not fair that the first world has better health than the third world. You think that could be raging in his mind?
I don't know what's raging in his
mind. Does he have a mind? Does the man have a mind? Is the man sane? I want to know if Obama's sane. I'd like to know if he's sane. I don't know if he's sane.
Whatever.
I mean, there's no point in speculating on another man's sanity. I don't have an answer to that. Did you hear what Obama said? that Russians make nothing. I want to play. I'm going to play a soundbite. I want to ask you what you think of it. Play clip one again. I can't get this out of my mind.
I do think it's important to keep perspective. You know, Russia doesn't make anything.
What's he talking to, his daughters?
Rushing to Moscow in search of opportunity.
See, here's an example of a man who is so shallow that when he speaks without a speech, this is what he thinks. It's like, sounds like he was talking to his daughters. I mean, Russia doesn't make anything, like in that adolescent kind of, you know what I'm saying, accent-wise? Immigrants aren't rushing to Moscow. Of course they're not rushing there. There's no welfare state like you created here. Everything in Russia got rid of. You picked up like it's the latest, like the wheel. You discovered the wheel called Marxism. Wow, that's cool. If you give them things, they'll actually like you and you can have manipulate them and all. Wow. Ooh, let's try that. The Russians got rid of that. Oh, let's give them, you know, food, shelter, clothing, medicine, legal care, cars, shoes, phones. Let's see, we get 80% of the population on some kind of government handout. Then they're going to need us even more. That sounds great. Let's try that. Him and the four horsewomen of the apocalypse. They discovered what the Soviet Union threw out. Of course they don't go to Moscow. Nobody wants to go to Moscow because there's no welfare there. They all want to come here from the third world. Wouldn't you come here to sit on your behind and do nothing? If the people were stupid enough to give you everything? What a dumb nation we are. What a stupid nation to let these third worlders into this country who abuse us, spit on us, rip our flag up, don't speak our language. And if you don't like what I'm saying, I'm not the xenophobe. You're the hater. You hate your own country. Don't tell me I'm xenophobic. You're the hater. You hate everything good about this country. You losers, you left-wing fanatics. You're jealous of everything anybody has because you can't have it. Because you're not smart enough, you don't have the guts to work for it. So you resent anybody who has anything more than you. And so you identify with the third world leeches that are being brought in like hordes. Here's a headline for you. Border agent murders suspects illegally in U.S. repeatedly arrested and deported. Two illegal aliens from Mexico, Gustavo Tejerina and Ismael Hernandez, living in Texas illegally and charged today with first-degree murder in the shooting death of an off-duty U.S. Border Patrol agent, have been arrested and deported numerous times. Why don't they have them to the White House? Why doesn't Nancy Pelosi wash his feet? Maybe Nancy Pelosi can wash Gustavo Tejerina's feet and say he's the next Jesus. I don't know. That makes as much sense as washing the foot of an unknown illegal alien child, like it was the chosen one. Welfare state. Imagine that. That's what they created in the art. All right, we'll move on. You don't want to hear it. It's too much. It's the 5th of August in the Hotel Ozone. It's the 5th of August in the Hotel Ozone. It's the summertime on the Savage Nation. The war in the Middle East is now over. It's now officially over. Nobody won. It was a standoff. And all of the morons in the media can do is add up how many civilians died on each side as though there's an equality. Remember we were trying to teach you over the years about the dangers of moral equivalency that the left was putting out, like the number of cops killed on duty as opposed to the number of criminals that were killed being apprehended, like there was a moral equivalency. Remember they were doing this to us for 25 years, the psychopathic professors of the left? Well, they just did it to you in the Middle East. The Middle East gave you a moral equivalency. The number of those dead in Gaza, the number of those dead in Israel, like there's a moral equivalency, totally equal to them. Okay, you get the picture? You finally got it? Let's see. What else do we have? And we have so many callers here. Great callers. Great callers. What would you like to talk about? 855-407-282. I should take one caller. I haven't taken really many callers today. I don't know why. Right, let me say some sound. I don't know. Let's see. We got good sound. We had Gupta. We had Obama. We had Blinken. We had Obama on Ebola. We had the CDC mouthpiece telling us not to worry, he's in charge. We had the CDC mouthpiece on Fox News telling us not to worry, he's in charge. Of course, Dr. Ben Carson, who's a stone genius, says it's a mistake to bring Ebola patients to the U.S. He agrees with me. I didn't say agrees with me, but common sense, anyone who has a degree in anything, you could have a degree in common sense and have gone to the fifth grade and know it didn't make sense to bring the disease here. Listen to clips 21 and 22.
It is very real. I mean, it's highly contagious disease.
Guaranteed.
And all it requires is some infractions and procedures.
What is going on with the show?
All of a sudden, you've got more spread. And that's what I'm afraid of. I am a little concerned that we're bringing it back here. I think we have the ability to treat it in other places. And the reason that I would be concerned about bringing it back here is because it's transmitted primarily through bodily fluids. And it can actually survive outside of the host.
Now, he's a brilliant man. Dr. Ben Carson is a pediatric neurosurgeon. He didn't get his degree through, let us say, any favoritism. You know, pediatric neurosurgery is about as difficult as it gets. He got the real deal at one of the great universities, highly credentialed. Even though he's African-American, he doesn't exist to this racist administration. Because if you're of color and you're not a leftist, you don't exist to this administration. See, you want to hear a dream ticket would be Romney Carson or Romney Rice. See, if I were advising Romney on how to become the president, one, I would tell him to drop the wuss factor. He has three pieces of advice for Mitt Romney if you're going to run again. One, do what you did in the first debate and don't listen to your advisors. Smash them to the floor. One. Two, tell your wife to stay out of the campaign, to not come out with like non sequiturs like he does the laundry and carries my pocketbook. We don't want to hear that about a man who's going to, you know, lead the country. We really don't want to know you do your own laundry, Mitt. Let's leave that one out of it. Don't give us your favorite cooking tips. The next thing is choose a running mate that actually would add to your campaign. That would be Condoleezza Rice. As middle of the road as she is, she'd bring over an awful lot of the segments of the voters who are not sure who to vote for. Or Ben Carson. But God forbid you should bring up some wackadoodle leftist Republican as your running mate like you did last time, that guy Ryan. Oh, my God. Who told you to do that? The worst mistake you can make, Mitt, would be like Rubio, a Romney Rubio campaign. End of the story. End of the story. May as well buy a yacht and go on a cruise around the world for that one. It's got to be Romney Carson or Romney Rice. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
It is the Savage Nation. We're talking about the death of common sense. If you care to join the conversation, the phone number is 855-400-7282. Deborah on WMAL. MAL in the heart of the monster, Washington, D.C. Deborah, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Michael, you know, I agree with you about Ben Carson, but, you know, correct me if I'm wrong, because you know more about it than I do, but I remember back with Condoleezza Rice, she had a lot to do with Israelis getting out of Gaza, and I really disliked her for that, and I've held that against her ever since, and I just
Look, Condoleezza Rice is a middle-of-the-road Republican. There's no question about it. She's an establishmentarian. She's very centrist. She's very middle-of-the-road. But I'm very concerned about getting the socialist Democrats out of power.
Yeah.
And I believe that as tepid as Romney is, we know where he was born. We know where his sympathies lie. We know that he knows the dangers of Islamism. We know that he would not appoint people to the military that would be a detriment to the military. We know that he would probably rebuild the military. We know that he would fight on the side of Christians around the world. And we know that we could sleep better at night with Romney in the White House than Hillary Clinton. So what I'm concerned about is advising his campaign or his own family on not to listen to advisors. They destroyed him last time. I had dinner with Mr. Romney alone a year before he ran. Wonderful gentleman. And he would never, ever agree to come on the show again because his Judas advisors, the people who ran him off the road, told him, don't go on the Savage Nation. He needs to pick someone like Ben Carson as his running mate or Condoleezza Rice, or he's going nowhere. My opinion, I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage. Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
It is The Savage Nation. I refuse to be defeated by fear. I refuse, I absolutely refuse. I'll go down fighting. I can't take it anymore, but I won't give in. I just won't give in. The commander-in-chief has nothing to say about minority religious communities being wiped out in the Middle East. Instead, he's in Africa talking about money. A conference in Washington, D.C. about Africa in the midst of this epidemic of Islamism spreading like worse than Ebola. Islamism is killing more people than Ebola is, and he has nothing to say about it. So now we turn to the local newspaper here in this beautiful city filled with the greatest level of insanity of any city in the United States of America, San Francisco. So the headline is, listen to this headline, $1,000 a month for tiny room and bed bugs and seedy surroundings in the Mission District. And it shows a poor immigrant family from Mexico, Laura Chinas and her children, four children and two dogs in a single room occupancy hotel, complaining about the hotel. Laura Chinas and her husband sleep on the floor and her kids age 4 to 11 sleep on the lower part of the bed. They have no bathroom or kitchen of their own. Mice and bed bugs also call a tiny room home. And the rent is so high, and who are they blaming? The tech boom in San Francisco. Again, people who are working for a living and making a good buck. They're the reason that they're living in a bedbug-ridden hotel. And then they go on with the hearts and flowers. Increasingly, this is what life is like for children on the lowest economic rungs in one of the richest cities in the world. And on and on. So let's read what the people say at the bottom of the article. Here's one. People feeling sorry for this immigrant group should check out South Tijuana. Here in San Francisco, the family has a fridge, access to a flush toilet, a carpeted floor, and they're living in a vibrant city of culture, money, jobs, and activity. Way better than living in a corrugated roof shack in South Tijuana where they would have a dirt floor, a pit toilet, and a board with a hole in it. And far worse infestation than some bed bugs. Right on. So we're supposed to give all of them a house now in the suburbs. What I don't understand is why does everyone think they're entitled to live in a city? Why would they choose to live in one of the most expensive places in the world, whether it be New York City or San Francisco? Why are they living here? Because they get better benefits here. That's why they come here. I'm supposed to foot the bill for everything they want? What do they have four kids for? What about the two dogs that they can't afford? They made the decisions. It's unbelievable to me that, again, every day the same Marxism, communism. Here's a guy who writes, considering where these where their parents came from, this is a major step up from what they would have had in their own home country. He then says, as an Asian American, I was constantly reminded of what life would have been like in our home country of Vietnam had my parents not fled. He says, I grew up in a one-bedroom, one-bath apartment in South Central L.A. There were eight of us in the apartment. There were six in my family, plus an uncle and a cousin from Vietnam who had no other place to go. What did they do? They saved every dime and they bought the building. He went to work at the age of nine in a downtown L.A. sweatshop that a family friend owned. He said after a 12-hour day, he made $17. But since it was a family friend running the sweatshop, she gave me $20 for the 12-hour day. My other option was sitting at home and watching reruns of Gilligan's Island or go to work at the sweatshop and make the $20, so I took the job. Fast forward, four siblings in my Vietnamese family. Two hold a Ph.D. and one holds an MBA. I'm the black sheep of the family with the lowly B.A. degree. But on the flip side, I own a dozen apartment buildings in Oakland, and I'm preparing to retire, and I'm still in my 30s. The sweatshop taught me about hard work from an early age. Thank you, sweatshop. A true American story. What? I mean, this is common sense. Go tell that to the morons who write for the San Francisco Chronicle every day about how the impoverished immigrants are downtrodden here in evil San Francisco because the techies are taking a job down in the, and they need a bus to go through the district. I don't understand these. What world do they live in? You know, I grew up in New York City, so immigrant father. Not everybody could live in Manhattan, so that's why they developed Queens. Not everybody could afford Queens, that's why they developed Nassau County. Not everybody could afford Nassau, that's why they developed Suffolk County. And that's why they built the Long Island Railroad. Increasingly, to take workers farther out on this piece of real estate called Long Island, sure most of them would rather have lived in a nice house in Manhattan with a garden. They couldn't afford it. So they moved out of the city and lived where they could afford it. Sometimes the father commuted an hour and a half in each direction. That's what he had to do, as many do today listening to this show. Don't sit in San Francisco complaining, give it to me. Give me. Obama wants to give you everything. Then you have 80% of the country captive, and then you have an absolute prison camp. You can do whatever you want with them. And that's the story. It's in a whole nutshell. It's the whole thing. And we talked about Ebola today. I got off the Ebola thing. I couldn't take it anymore. That's enough already. You know, Ebola's not Ebola cherries. It's the death of common sense. Let's pray that it doesn't break out. And then we can move on to something else. But I still stand by my commonsensical approach, which is you never should have taken this disease out of the hot zone. It made no sense. And just remember, viruses adapt. They mutate rapidly. And while today the Ebola virus may only be transmissible through droplets, who knows what tomorrow will bring. Viruses are smarter than most Democrats. And the first rule of epidemiology has been violated by Obama. One, identify the source and isolate the area. You certainly don't bring the infected to an uninfected area if you can avoid it. You just don't do it. By the way, I was interested in the airplane that was used to transport the doctors. I didn't know whether it was a G3 or a G4. It's a G3, by the way. It's an ex-Royal Danish Air Force Gulfstream 3. Nice plane. It has a range of 4,400 miles. The G4 is 4,800 miles. And it's fixed up nice, nice little hospital setting inside. And the old Gulfstream was once owned and operated by the Royal Danish Air Force, and it had the military tailcode F313 at the time. It's very interesting. Gulfstream is the greatest private jet in the world. It's beautiful. And what's interesting is that this one is owned, I think, by Phoenix Air. And it does medical flights around the world. They left Africa, and I think they then went over to one of the islands off the African coast in the Seychelles. I'm not sure. And then they turned around. Something happened on the first trip. They had to make a U-turn. And then they went out again to... No, the Azores, right. The jet initially took a women's mission Thursday at 2:03, but turned back after only 2 hours and 40 minutes of what should have been a 6.5-hour flight to the Azores for a refueling stop. Then at 5.08 p.m. Eastern, Phoenix Air Flight 333 under the call sign Greybird made its way to the Azores once again. You know how far out in the ocean the Azores are? Do you realize that's 6.5 hours from Africa to the Azores for a refueling stop and then on to Atlanta? Pretty amazing. But if you want to look inside that Gulfstream, I found the pictures on a weird site. And I put the pictures of the inside of that Gulfstream sort of medical jet on michaelsavage.com. I'm interested in these things. I like boats, planes, trains. I like anything that moves with an engine. Here, this amazing jet transported Ebola victims. An ex-Royal Air Force, Danish Air Force Gulfstream 3. You can see the difference, by the way, between the G3 and the G4, for those of you who are jet watchers, by the size of the engines, number one, and the size of the windows, number two. And the wing was totally redesigned from the G3 to the G4. It was a smaller, narrower wing for the G4, which gave it less drag, and it has an extra 400 nautical miles in range. Very interesting. Beautiful planes, just gorgeous. They thrill me. I don't know why I don't fly more. I should be up in the air more. I don't even want to be on the earth anymore. Just n'importe où Dieu le monde, for those of you who speak Parisian, not French. Don't confuse Parisian with French any more than you confuse New Yorkese with English. My French is perfect. It's perfect Parisian French. Is there anybody out there who speaks French and knows what I just said, n'importe où Dieu le monde? I'll give you a special prize if you know what I just said and who wrote that originally. N'importe où Dieu le monde. It's beautiful. 855-407-282 is the Savage Nation. Let's take some callers. Joe in Jacksonville, welcome to the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Savvy Savage, I love your cynicism. It keeps me listening. When I rent a car, I demand to have your station on. Anyway. Yeah,
well, cynicism is skepticism is what keeps me going.
Whatever. I believe that Netanyahu is so smart, he's going to prolong this war. In the hopes that these filthy bearded Khomeinis, as you refer to them as, do something dumb, and he can go in and finally carpet bomb these nuclear weapons. He wants this dragged out.
I missed something there. Carpet bomb, what nuclear weapons?
Iran and their...
No. I said this was a proxy war in Gaza. I said that last week. And the reason that Netanyahu decided to go for the gold and say, the hell with them all, I'm going to do what I have to do to get rid of the tunnels now. He was saying to Iran, you screw with us, we'll level your city. We'll turn you to ashes, you mullahs, you throwbacks, you. That's if you're even thinking of touching another Jew. We'll wipe you off the planet. We'll wipe you off the planet before you wipe us off the planet. This was a proxy war. And that's why those filthy throwbacks have been silent for the last week. Have you noticed the religious fanatics in Iran have shut their big, ugly mouths for a while?
Yeah, they're chomping at the bit. They can't do a thing about it because they know we have the ally on them. And he's hoping that they stick their big nose into the work so he can flap them.
Well, I don't think he's hoping for Iran to do anything, but I know he was sending a message to Iran and the other enemies of the Jewish people. Go ahead and make my day. That's what he was saying to them. If we're willing to take the heat for doing what we had to do in Gaza, just imagine what we'd do to you if you even think of dropping a nuclear weapon or launching one against us. That's what I said. That was a logical proxy war from my point of view, just looking in from the outside. I have no inside information. But as you well know, because of multiculturalism of the type that's being fostered upon us by Obama and the other criminals in this administration, bringing in the third world to flood us, to destroy our borders, language, and culture, take a look at what's going on in Europe. Look at what's happened from the Muslim influx in Europe. Take a look at what the Muslim influx is doing to Europe. Take a look and ask me if you think that they'll protect the art collections and the churches and the other marks of civilization in Europe. That's what's going to happen. What they're doing in Iraq is what they're going to do in Europe and what they'll do in this country once they have the majority. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I, Michael Savage, trust to buy my gold and silver from, SwissAmerica.com. I need some kind of break. I need a mental break. Very stressful looking at this garbage run by these maniacs. Oh, yes, we're in total control, yes. Or while we're not 100% certain, we're pretty sure we can, well, somewhat certain, well, pretty confident that we can contain Ebola. And as far as the southern border goes, everything's fine. Don't listen to those right-wing nuts about TB and scabies and cholera coming in. Oh, everything's just fine. We're housing the children all over America to give them a better life. Mr. President, what about the VA hospital scandal? What about the vets who are dying waiting for doctors? No comment. Got to rush off to Martha's Vineyard. Can you tell us about Lois Lerner and the IRS emails that were used to harass political opponents? No comment. That's being looked into by Eric Holder's dog. Mr. President, can you tell us about the NSA spying scandal? I'm sorry, no comment on that. That's for national security. Mr. President, can you tell us about the bills that you passed in the middle of the night giving you the power to arrest any American for any reason on any pretext called the NDAA? I'm sorry, we have nothing to say on that. That's a national security interest. Mr. President, can you tell us why you haven't lifted a finger to protect and help Christian communities in the Middle East, which are being wiped out by Islamists? I'm sorry, that's not our business. Shall I go on about what's eating at me? Is that eating at you? Any of these topics eating at you as well? I would hope so. I would hope you remember what this charlatan is doing to the world. I know it's a lot to carry around in your mind, but there it is. And he has the nerve to give a speech to try to steam up Putin. Putin's 100 times the man that Obama ever was. 100 times the man. Listen to clip number one. Listen to this. Clip one.
I do think it's important to keep perspective. Russia doesn't make anything. Immigrants aren't rushing to Moscow in search of opportunity.
Now, did you hear the inflection in his voice? That's something that like a chick uses in a college. Russians aren't making anything. That's like something you'd hear on The View from Whoopi Goldberg. Russia isn't making anything. Immigrants aren't rushing to Moscow. And yet it's our astronauts who have to fly in a Russian rocket to get to the International Space Station. I have to remind the President of the United States about that. And the reason immigrants aren't rushing to Russia? Because they don't have a welfare state. That was part of the ex-Marxist Soviet Union. Everything that Russia got rid of because it failed and destroyed their country, you've latched onto like you discovered it. I guess the learnings from Reverend Wright and Marshall Davis stuck with you. All those years in the church rubbed off. You know, not God bless America, but God damn America. Never rubbed off. I guess a lot of it rubbed off on you, huh? 20 years in a church and none of it. You didn't absorb any of that. You and Michelle couldn't get enough of it. The last time you went to a church that I can check was when Reverend Wright was slamming America. That's his idea of a church, is cursing America. So there it is. Russia didn't make anything. Russia doesn't make anything. Immigrants aren't exactly rushing to Russia. No, they're rushing here because we give them everything for nothing. They didn't even use toilet paper in their home country. They're coming to give them a split-level house to live in Texas, run by the Baptists or the Catholic Charities. Wonderful organizations. Wonderful. Wonderful. They're in it for the religious reasons. Catholic Charities in it for the religious reasons, not for the money. See what the Pope said? The next thing the Pope did? Take a look at this.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now. 855-400-SAVAGE. Savage.
Of all our peoples. And then unleash the next era of African growth. That's the kind of partnership America offers.
So President Zero, our turn, I can't take it. I can't take his the hooded eyes. The lies that are pouring out of his soul are enough to poison a man's soul. I just watch him speak and I feel like my soul gets poisoned. In the midst of an Ebola outbreak, he brings an African summit, keeps it going. Again, an emerging new Africa. That's the new hope for the world. Well, I have a lot to say about that, but I won't say it right now. We're talking about a morbid topic. Ebola death is what we're talking about. You think about it. What are we talking about? Health and illness, living and dying. Did you know the burial places in the U.S. and around the Western world are at a premium? Did you know that? People are fighting for a piece of real estate. They're calling it real estate now. In New York City, 1,000 New Yorkers die every week. And Manhattan is running out of room for them. In Brooklyn, prices of burial plots for the deceased are at record highs. You ready for this one? You thought your house cost a lot? In a 756-square-foot mausoleum in Greenwood Cemetery in Brooklyn, near Park Slope, costs $320,000. An 1,800-square-foot single-family home across the street sold for $245,000 in 2009. Today it's worth $1 million. You know, we've lost common sense in this country. I would call it the death of common sense. The same people who are telling us there is man-made global warming, despite the coldest summer on record, the increase in pack ice in the Arctic, are now telling us to believe the government when they say Ebola poses no threat. And we should, yeah, just move on, just go about your business. I call them Ebola deniers. Because the Ebola outbreak should have been confined to the hot zone in Africa. It was total insanity to bring it to America. Of course it's debatable, because many of you are under the mistaken notion that compassion should supersede survival. The big debate is about whether Ebola should have been allowed to be brought into the continent, even in a controlled and quarantined state. But the fact of the matter is, it was insane to do so. Voluntarily bringing the Ebola virus to North America is the most critically insane thing Obama has done to date. He is risking the lives of all of us to save these few people. And I'm not saying write these people off. I never said that. These are missionaries, by the way. These are missionaries who went to Africa knowing the risk. I didn't say, therefore, let them die. I said, therefore, treat them in Africa. Bring them the doctors and bring them the equipment that is necessary. Bring them to Africa. Now, you may say that this is spreading inaccurate information. It starts public panics. And you say that Ebola is totally controllable. That's BS. That is total nonsense. They were brought here for a number of reasons, and none of them are compassionate. They were brought here so they can be experimented upon in BS4 labs, controlled by the corrupt CDC. They were brought here so they can be used as guinea pigs, so they can teach the scientists, the Dr. Silvanas, how to learn a lot about how to treat and control hemorrhagic fevers in the future. It's a good place to do a controlled study to be published in the Annals of Virology. So they're not bringing these patients home just because it was the right thing to do. No, my friends. Was it too much to ask to treat these patients in labs that are controlled in Africa? See, the only BS4 labs in Africa are in South Africa and Gabon. And they're not controlled by the CDC. They're not controlled by the CDC. Did you hear what I just said? The CDC wants to control the labs. We also know that direct contact of fluids is allegedly the only route of transmission. And I said allegedly. But let me give you some other facts that you probably haven't gotten from the New York Post or the New York Times, the journal of record of foolishness. Let me ask you something, Mr. Sulzberger of the New York Times. If you were walking on, 7th Avenue in Manhattan, where somebody just sneezed in the last 3 to 5 minutes, and he happened to be infected with Ebola, then you would be in direct contact of such fluids. You understand that? And so you have to understand, my friends, that Ebola has been shown to defeat the air barrier in animal experiments. Did you know that? Ebola has been able to defeat the air barrier in animal experiments. They should have been treated in the hot zone. By removing them from Africa, the government has increased the chance of the disease spreading to an area which would have otherwise remained unaffected by the disease, meaning the United States of America. That is why the same lying clowns at the CDC who are sitting there with their nice ties and shirts assuring us in mellifluous tones that we're all safe, don't worry, go about your business, these are the same criminals, and I use a harsh word because they're committing a criminal act by letting TB, scabies, and cholera come across the border without having said a word about it. How come the very same nice doctor who is such an expert on the safety of Ebola has nothing to say about the diseases pouring over the border from Guatemala, El Salvador, and points south? How come the very same doctor has said nothing about that? Because he's nothing but a spokesmouth for the Obama administration. If you look at the news stories that have come out, there were 6 more people tested for Ebola in New York City, not one more. And it's been alleged that the health authorities are hiding the number from the public. In fact, in Africa, they say the outbreak is much worse than thought. They say it's spinning out of control in Africa. British Airways has suspended flights to these areas of Africa. But you shouldn't worry. Don't you worry, because the very same people who assure you that the world is coming to an end because of global warming induced by man tell you you have nothing to worry about there bringing Ebola into the United States of America. The very same president who was antagonizing Putin, trying to start a war and making things up that are stupid. Russia doesn't make anything. Is this just the high school kid who's stoned on the beach in San Diego who says this at a frat house or in a bar on the beach? This is the president of the United States saying things in the child's voice, in an adolescent voice. Listen to it again. Listen carefully. It's important.
I do think it's important to keep perspective. Russia doesn't make anything.
Okay. Did you hear that? Did you hear the... Doesn't make anything. Beavis and Butthead. Beavis and Butthead. Now, why am I taking umbrage with this? Excuse me, Mr. President. Doesn't Russia fly our astronauts to the International Space Station on Russian rockets because you destroyed NASA's ability to do so, Mr. President? And of course immigrants aren't rushing to Moscow in search of opportunity, Mr. President, because Moscow doesn't give them free medical care, free housing, generous welfare benefits. That went out when the wall came down and communism was thrown out of Russia. But since we are now the new ex-Soviet Union, we have become the welfare magnet of the world, Mr. President, thanks to you and your merry Marxist pranksters. So what would you like to talk about? I mean, there's a lot of topics. There's a lot of news. Here we have CNN's reporter Gupta. saying that six were tested in New York City for Ebola, and it's been withheld from the public. Let's hear clip number two, Neil. Let's fire that one and see what that sounds like.
I should point out as well that the hospital has, you know, made this known. There have been about a half a dozen patients who have had their blood tested because of concern. Those particular patients, their stories were not made public. This patient was. I'm not sure if that's because of heightened concern by the hospital or what that means exactly.
Oh, so even Dr. Gupta is saying six were tested and it's been withheld from you, the sheeple out there. But have no fear, because the Obama administration is monitoring Ebola very closely. Listen to clip six. This is Deputy National Security Spokesmouth, Mr. Blinken. Listen to six.
We're doing more than watching. We are surging support for the countries that are affected by this in West Africa. Expertise, equipment, protective gear. And here at home, we're taking every precaution with protections, the protocols that you've heard about, to make sure that there's no problem here. So this is more than watching, it's acting.
We're taking precautions. Now, that should give you confidence. The CDC is not telling you the full truth about how easily Ebola can be spread. Let me repeat that. I'm giving you my opinion. It's an educated opinion. It's as valid as any opinion out there. And I'll tell you how I came to that. If medical researchers, such as the poor man who was being treated in Atlanta, could become infected while using every precaution that was known to science, what makes you think that the fools at the CDC can contain it in this country? They've opened the borders. The borders are broken open because of Obama's idiotic policies. They want to turn the nation into a Democrat socialist nation as quickly as possible. They're bringing in the hordes from nations where cholera is endemic, tuberculosis is present, and they don't say a word about it. And now they're bringing in infected people to treat them here. Interesting. Why? Why didn't they treat them in Africa? Why didn't they treat them in Africa? Well, I don't know. Here? And answer the question. Nigeria is an oil-rich nation. Bill Clinton raised a lot of money for the African continent. Remember that? Where'd that money go? Ask one of the African diplomats in Manhattan today where the money went. You could probably see it on his ring, on his fingers. That's where the money went. Take a look at his shoes, his rings. Take a look at the limo, the bodyguards. Take a look at the dress she's wearing, the pearls she's wearing. That's where the money went. So the CDC says don't worry, because listen to this now. Are you ready for this one? Federal agents at U.S. airports are watching travelers from Africa for flu-like symptoms. Now let's stop right there. Isn't that racial profiling? I mean, certainly national profiling, and I think that the ACLU should jump in on that and stop them from watching travelers from Africa. Why are they not watching Irish nuns coming in from Dublin? Why are they focusing only on people from Africa? I think that's racist. And I think that this is a case for Al Sharpton. I mean, he certainly knows. He's a genius in epidemiology. We don't know where he got his doctorate degree from. We know I love it. Reverend Al. No one's ever asked, where'd you get your divinity degree? Reverend Al. Reverend Al. Got it out of a Cracker Jack box, no doubt, when he was 4 years old. But Reverend Al and Reverend Jackson should definitely start to scream that this is racist. I mean, if you're watching travelers at airports from Africa, that's certainly racial profiling. And I think that Border Patrol agents at Washington's Dulles International and New York's JFK, who have been told to ask travelers about possible exposure to the virus, need to be given sensitivity training. Because if they're only talking to Africans, I'm sorry, that violates all the tenets of Eric Holder's Justice Department. And I believe that the Border Patrol agents should be given the diversity training. So the Border Patrol agents at these airports are being told to be on the lookout for anyone with a fever, headache, sore throat, diarrhea, vomiting, stomach pain, rash, or red eyes. That could be anyone coming off an airline today after eating the food. I know a guy came across the Atlantic, ate the shrimp, his eye almost fell out. He would have been one that would have pulled over. He came from London or Paris to JFK, and he ate the shrimp scampi on the airline. I can't name the airline. His eye blew up. They couldn't find any Benadryl. Now, the guy told me the story. He needed Benadryl. His eye was almost falling out of his head from the shrimp. And he asked for a Benadryl. The stewardess said, we can't open the medical cabinet without a doctor. She said, they ran up and down the aisles. Is there a doctor on the airplane? Doctor on the airplane? No, no doctor. She says, please. He says, I need the Benadryl. No, can't give it to you. Federal law says a doctor has to open the medicine cabinet. Finally, they found a horse doctor. It was a true story. They found the horse doctor came from the back of the airplane, says, I'm a veterinarian. So they popped open the thing. They gave him a Benadryl in his eye. You know, the swelling went down. You're laughing. It's laughable, but this is the world we're living in. It's Keystone Cops. I'll be right back. It's the Savage Nation.
But because there are CBP officers who are carefully monitoring passengers who are arriving from these countries, we're in a position to ensure that public health is protected.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I, Michael Savage, trust to buy my gold and silver from, SwissAmerica.com.
Hot Dog 560, KSO.
As we cruise to the end of hour number three on this Tuesday, TGI Tuesday, thank God it's Tuesday. I wish it was Friday already. Between Obama and Ebola, I can't remember who is what anymore. But the fact of the matter is, in Africa, the Ebola outbreak is spinning out of control, according to doctors there. So don't buy the government media complex. Oh, it's fine. Oh, it's fine. We got it under control. I say keep the Ebola outbreak confined to the hot zone. And if you still haven't read America's Ebola Response is Madness, you can still do so on the top of MichaelSavage.com. The madness of Ebola is only matched by the madness of America. On my website, I have a picture of the Gulfstream 3 that's actually transporting the Ebola victims. It's an ex-Royal Danish Air Force G3. It's a fascinating story with inside pictures of what that jet looks like. I mean, you're probably going to want to look at it. Meanwhile, more Marxist leanings from the Pope came out. He reinstated a Sandinista priest. Nice going, Mr. Pope. And by the way, what would your friends Hamas do if it could do whatever it wanted? Have you asked yourself that question, morons? There's a great article in The Atlantic about how they would commit genocide. The answer is quite easy. All you Hamas lovers. Why don't you travel to Gaza in solidarity with your Hamas friends like some of your fathers did with the Sandinistas? At least from the Sandinistas, they came back alive. I can't guarantee you will come back from Gaza alive, you morons. By the way, the Gaza school attack, it now appears to have been staged. There's evidence the bodies were moved into the courtyard. You don't believe me? Judge for yourself. Go to MichaelSavage.com and read Jihad Watch. Meanwhile, African villagers who are suffering the Ebola plague won't give up bushmeat. Even though bushmeat is believed to have spread the Ebola outbreak, they won't give up their bushmeat. Well, Bush is no longer president, so he's no longer meat for the press, and therefore we have no one being attacked except those who criticize the president. Moronic President Obama zings Russia as a country that doesn't make anything. Can you believe this? May I remind you, Mr. President, that Russia takes our astronauts to the space station? They don't make anything? You mean you don't make anything but hot air? Seen the pictures yet of Pelosi freaking out in Congress, showing an arrogance of power and what happens when you're off your meds? A Cambridge biologist says that it's a serious threat and terrorists could make an Ebola dirty bomb. Why wouldn't they? Isn't that in their blood? Also on MichaelSavage.com is a free daily newsletter. You sign up for the nation's free daily newsletter. It's near the bottom. You click there. It comes into your mailbox. It's a short and sweet version of what I do in 3 hours a day. All for you for free right on MichaelSavage.com. Well, thanks for giving me 15 minutes, and I hope I've given you America.
Savage.